Title of my sermonette today is Attitude. Our attitude shapes and frames our experiences. We can all, every single one of us, have a very similar experience, but our attitude is what shapes our perception and how we feel about those experiences. Now, all of you here are listening to me speak, or at least I assume that all of you are listening. Some of you may just be hearing my words, but that's okay. You know, you can hear. That's a good start. you're all seeing the same thing, or something pretty close to it, hearing the same words. And by the time I'm done today, it's my hope that some of you will actually be inspired. But realistically, some of you will completely forget what I'm saying by tomorrow, maybe sooner. I don't know. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. This is just the way we function, right, as human beings. Our attitudes are what we bring with us every day into our experience. And it has an influence on how we engage with the world around us. Now, we all came here today with different experiences, different background, and different history, and a different outlook on life, which have all had an influence on the attitudes that we have right now, today, at this particular moment, as I'm speaking before you today. Some of you are in the midst of a struggle, making it very hard to shake free from whatever stressful situation is breathing down your neck, hard to focus on things that you might care to focus on instead. Some of you are having wonderful things happening in your lives, which delight you and allow you to bring that attitude into whatever you're doing. Of course, there are myriad other types of experiences that might contribute to the attitudes that you and I have right now. The point is that our circumstances factor into the formulation of our attitudes. Now, even though our attitudes are influenced by our experiences and our background, we happen to have a great deal of control over the attitudes that we choose to adopt every single day. We cannot control our circumstances. There are many things that we experience that are simply out of our grasp. We have no way of controlling anything that happens around us. We might be able to influence it, but we cannot control it. But there's one thing that we can control, and that is how we react and the attitude that we choose to have when we do so. When we command control over the attitude that we choose to adopt in our lives, we happen to gain a whole lot of control over how we feel about our experiences. When we allow ourselves to have a negative attitude, easy to do, we can find flaws in the most ideal of situations. But when we have a positive frame of mind, even the most difficult circumstances will be futile in their attempts to drag us down. And therefore, how we go through life, how we experience things, how we feel about our lives, is something that we have some control over by managing how we choose to adopt an attitude. This all sounds great, right? It's, of course, a lot easier to say this than it is to do it. But it's possible. And I have to admit, I personally struggle with this every day. For some of you who have heard me talk about my work, it's probably hard for you to understand if I actually like my job or hate it. The fact is that some days I'm beaten down, and there are other days when I enjoy the beating, or the challenge, however you frame that situation, whatever attitude I happen to have at that moment. But knowing that I have the ultimate say in the attitude that I will choose to use in my experience is empowering. It's empowering to me, and I hope that I can share some thoughts today, some examples from Scripture that will help empower you too. So let's begin in Exodus as we explore this idea of attitude, we'll go to Exodus 14 and read verses 10 through 14. And we are breaking in here at the moment when Israel is escaping from Egypt, and they are, as we will see, having a bit of an attitude crisis. Exodus 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." We see a dichotomy of attitudes going on here. Here we are in the midst of one of the most intense situations that we can read about in the Bible. This nation of Israel has been enslaved in Egypt for generations, over 400 years. You know, this country here is, you know, approaching 250 years. Imagine adding 150 more years on that. That's how long Egypt had enslaved Israel. And after all of this time, they were let free. And after witnessing miracle after miracle leading up to the Passover, these miracles from God allowed them to be freed from that bondage. And they were sent away with abundant riches. How miraculous of an experience that was. What kind of proof did these people need that God was with them? They had it in spades. And what is their attitude at this moment? They complain to Moses, who led them out of this terrible bondage that they had, the severe enslavement that they experienced. They wanted, rather, to go back and be slaves. Because they understood that, they lived by that, they were uncomfortable getting into the wilderness with an uncertain future, even though God was leading them out of it. But what about the attitude of Moses? He looked at the situation in a completely different way. He was facing the same type of circumstances that the rest of his countrymen were. He believed, rather, that instead of, you know, fear of the unknown, he embraced it, knowing that God was with them. He believed that they would get through this dire situation somehow, because he knew that God was with them. He knew that God would deliver them out of it. They experienced, again, the same thing. They were all in danger, but their attitudes were completely different. What type of attitude would you have had? Let's take another look at an example of attitude. This one is in 2 Kings. If you'll turn there with me, opening up to chapter 5, and I will read verses 9 through 15. 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. Here we are breaking in this story about Naaman. Naaman had suffered with leprosy. He was looking for healing. And Elisha, at this point, offers that to him. And this is how Naaman responds. 2 Kings, chapter 5, and verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, 'He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place.' and heal the leprosy. And not the Abana and the, and not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away. So he turned and went away in a rage, a bad attitude. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." In this example of Naaman, we see an attitude change, a complete shift, an adjustment. He went into his situations with certain expectations of how things should be. And this is often the attitude of bad attitude, isn't it? When we expect something to be just so, but it's not, and it ruffles our feathers when it's not. When these circumstances were different, he became very angry, right? He allowed his bad attitude to get the better of him. How often do we get into a situation with expectations and inevitably experience something different and disappointing, allowing it to cause us to have a bad attitude? How do we respond? Do we go off and get grumpy about it, or are we like Naaman and adjust our attitude? In Naaman's situations, he was convinced that he needed to see things differently by his assistants, whoever they were. They influenced him and said, "Hey, look, you got to change the way you're thinking about this, Naaman. Just try. Be open-minded about this. Allow God to work his wonders," right? He had an attitude adjustment, and he was blessed for it. He changed from a negative outlook to a positive one. Let's look at another example. Let's go to Luke 18. Read verses 15 through 17. And this is when Jesus Christ is doing the blessing of the little children. Luke 18, beginning in verse 15. "Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Jesus Christ gives us the example of the kind of attitude that we must have. He specifically talked about the outlook to have when we are presented with our calling into the family of God, into the kingdom. He tells us that we are to have the outlook and the attitude of a child. We are to be trusting, having a willing attitude, being obedient, willing to submit, to have an innocent heart. Not a hard heart. That's the type of attitude that we have when we don't trust God, when we don't put our lives in the hands of Him. Israel had had a hard heart. Naaman started out with a hard heart, but he adjusted himself. We must be willing to learn from the lessons that God teaches us. And these happen to us in the circumstances that we experience. And it turns out that these lessons that we can learn from, they hit us all day long, every single day. Jesus Christ was a human as we are, He faced persecution and death, and he knew that he too had to have this perspective, this type of attitude, and he did. He was completely in submission to God the Father. He knew that his will was above all, and he was willing and very glad to follow in that. He had an attitude of faith that God the Father would allow his plan to work out, that his life would be used for a meaningful purpose. And what is Jesus Christ's advice to us in the Bible? He tells us to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. He doesn't tell us to have a negative attitude. He tells us to be of good cheer. We are fortunate to have the knowledge of God's plan for us and for the whole universe. To be of good cheer with the hope for the kingdom in our heart is the kind of attitude that we should take with us into every single day. And that is the thing, that is the foundation upon which we build our experience. That's the attitude that we want to frame our experience. How much easier is it to endure struggles with that kind of attitude? It's a whole lot easier if we can manage to do it. Now, we are all about to embark on our journey to observe the fall holy days. Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Last Great Day. These holy days are a reminder to us of God's plan, that wonderful plan that he has to bring his Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth, to establish his perfect kingdom here, with us being glorified members in his family, and to complete his final judgment that will put an end to all sin, put an end to death. What can be more positive than that? That's an exciting time to look forward to. Yet, here we are as human beings in this time. We are not perfect yet. That perfect time is not here yet. And the experiences, the circumstances that we have are not going to be perfect. As we go through the next 2 weeks, there may be some bumps in the road on our journey and in our experiences. We may have expectations that are not quite met. What is the kind of attitude that you will choose to have to frame those experiences? I'm sure that it will be a positive one that will shape all your experience into something that allows you to be thankful and appreciate everything that comes your way so that you can really, truly rejoice as God wants you to.